I was asked, like, how happy are you that you don't have to go be a part of FanFest? I'm not happy about that. I liked FanFest when I was over there. It was a chance to get back into a ballpark I love being in. It was a chance to say hello to a bunch of fans and listeners, and it was a chance to kind of walk around, meet some of the new guys, catch up with some of the older guys on the team, and just gauge a little bit of what you thought of the upcoming baseball season. Well, they just had FanFest over this last weekend, and it was poorly attended. I saw Susan Slesser basically say they were expecting between around 7 to 10,000. I had people letting me know that there's no way there's like 5 or 6,000 people in here, which means probably between 2,500 and 4,000 actually showed up. Now, I had worked FanFests in the past that have happened on terrible rainy days, and there's still been 20,000 people just all jammed into the concourse level or on the club level, still trying to get around Q&A stages and so on and so forth. So I know what a bad weather fan fest looks like and what the crowd looks like under those circumstances. Ray, it didn't look anything like the circumstances that we just saw over this past weekend. That was more than bad weather. That was an entire fan base going, for who, for what? For who are we showing up to meet? For what are we going to go out of our way on this lousy day to get excited about a team that is basically being delivered to us as unexciting of a product as we've seen in a decade? I think there was a little fan mutiny, if you don't mind me saying.
I don't know if it's a mutiny, though. I think it's, though, it is massive disinterest. And that's how the Bay Area votes its disapproval. They won't go to a place and boo you, but they will stay home. So they're saying it with empty chairs. And if the crowd is as you say it was, that's a statement.
By the way, as if Mitch Haniger and Michael Conforto weren't enough veteran outfielder for you, Ray. Oh, I'm pleased to tell you that there is another move up Farhan's sleeve, and he made it. Steven Piscotty. You ready? You ready for the Piscotty era?
Sure, why not?
Giants and Team Piscotty have a minor league contract that includes an invite to Scottsdale. He can earn $1 million if he reaches the major leagues. He's 32 years old. He obviously started off with the St. Louis Cardinals before working a trade to Oakland to be with his ailing mother as she was passing away from Lou Gehrig's disease. It was a touching story and, you know, maybe one of the last beautiful things to happen over in Oakland in terms of that baseball team. In 2017, he had a career year with the A's. However, after that, Ray, he fell off a cliff. He's only played in 252 games over the last four seasons, and in 2022, he managed only five home runs while hitting .190 in 42 games before being released in August. And he was like an actual paid major leaguer for them. You know, the A's aren't in the business of paying a guy $7 million salary unless he's actually in the lineup. They let him go because he had that little left to offer, and they still paid him. So, you know that, you know, John Fisher probably didn't sleep a wink after that happened. Or maybe he slept like a baby since he really doesn't care one way or the other. I don't know. All I can say is, as I am kind of making fun of this deal, it's a completely riskless deal that's not going to deliver a major reward to the Giants. But this deal is about as Farhan as a deal can get, if you really think about it. I mean, it truly, truly is. It's riskless. It doesn't cost much money. And honestly, even though I'm kind of doing a crapping on it, laughing at it segment, I'll be the first to admit that Steven Piscotty resurfacing with his head back above water is a pretty good 25th, 26th man on a baseball team.
Oh no, it's a great minor league deal. I mean, it's a guy who has done this in the past. I mean, it's a standard. I mean, every team in baseball
does something like this.
Is signing a Steven Piscotty type because they fit a bill, which is you can call him up for 2 weeks. You know, if he strikes gold, you can keep him. He could play multiple positions, which is one of the things that the Giants will continue to have to do until their farm system gets off the schneid. There's nothing wrong with the Piscotty deal at all. Because A, it is riskless, as you say, and B, it has a chance of working out. Working out, of course, being a relative term, but it has a chance of not harming them. So, it's fine.
By the way, have you seen Farhan is calling his shot? He thinks he's got a lineup that is brimming with power? Again, I don't know.
Is that
about
what he said? Brimming?
No. I said that.
Okay.
I'll tell you exactly what he said. Reported by NBC Sports' Angelina Martin, she says, she quoted Farhan as saying, one of the strengths of our 23 team, we think, is going to be power, 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 power. I added the echo.
The echo, yeah, I assumed as much.
We got three guys who've had 30-plus home run seasons who we think can do that again. We have like four or five guys who have hit 20 and a couple more who have hit between 18 and 19. So we feel like we're going to be right at the top of the league in power, 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 power.
Are you talking from the bathroom now?
Farhan believes that offseason additions such as Mitch Haniger and Michael Conforto, along with returnees Jacques Peterson, Wilmer Flores, J.D. Davis, and Mike Yastrzemski, just to name a few, will put the Giants in a powerful position. Now, Conforto missed all of last year with shoulder surgery. He did average 29 homers per season between 2017 and 2019 when he was with the New York Mets. Again, being completely overlooked in that lineup because they had actual guys that you would pitch around to get to Michael Conforto, where he ate well once you pitched around whoever you were pitching around to get to him. Haniger is only one season removed from a 39 home run campaign. I'll give him that much. Look, during their 107-win season, the Giants were second in all of baseball in home runs with 241. And believe it or not, they were still in the top half of the league last year when they came in 12th in all baseball with 183. They did not pass the eye test in terms of that's a powerful lineup. But in a weird way, as I'm trying to make fun of this team in a segment, I can't help but admit, you know, we might be onto something there. It's really weird. The Giants are going to be an oddly uninspiring, but maybe on the down low kind of fun because you never saw it coming, even though you can maybe see it coming, little bit of a baseball team. I got them coming in like 85 wins, Ray. Decidedly third place behind two teams that are decidedly better, but just average enough to keep poking around an expanded wild card field. Watch them. In a year that a lot of people have measured dead on arrival, actually arriving and playing a little decent baseball before the year's over. Would you put it past them?
85 seems optimistic to me.
It's four more games than they won last year.
Yeah, I don't think they're four games better. And I still think their biggest problem is not power. Their biggest problem is pitching. They don't have enough starters. They have to reconstruct their bullpen, which was not very good last year, because there's been no Giants team that has ever won anything in this town, in either ballpark, in any of the three ballparks, without pitching and defense. And they were profoundly average in the latter two things.
Below average defensively last year.
Yeah, well, until the end. They kind of made their numbers, they gussied up their numbers a bit at the end. But still, you know, them hitting home runs, I mean, 2 years ago, they were sensational, but they also had a great bullpen and they had a deep rotation.
Right, and everyone just, I don't know how they did it, but collectively decided, hey, let's all have our one last career year all at the same time, everyone.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, they won by pitching well and catching the ball, the balls that got hit. They didn't do that nearly as well last year. If they don't fix that, then they're going to be 80 and 82.
Someone here from the 650 on the Xfinity mobile text line says, you know, Farhan has just sucked the passion out of this fan base. It doesn't matter if they overachieve either. The fan base will not support this roster. Well, I'll tell you that that might be an overwhelming, agreed upon feeling now. let them win 10 in a row at any one point during the early year. Yeah, everyone's going to hop on the bandwagon. I'm going to tell you right now, Mitch Haniger is going to be a guy, if he actually shows up and plays well, you're going to like. They will this team, this town, will glom on to a bunch of guys that ain't really worth glomming on to if they can get a little entertainment out of them. If it's a level of torture along the way, don't tell me that fans won't sign up for that too, because they have. Baseball fans are very easy to abuse. They're very easy to play with their emotions.
Some places, yes. The Pittsburgh Pirates would have to go 145-17 to draw 2 million people. They've had enough. They've been beaten around enough times. The Giants in 2021 had one of their best years ever by any standard. And they still, you know, struggled to fill the ballpark on a routine basis. And last year, they almost never did. So I think it's probably going to take a long time before people look at this team and believe in it. Well, and that means at least 4 months, and by then the summer's gone. So I think it might be a whole year before people get excited about these guys again.
And look, somebody here has a good point saying 85 wins is just 85 wins. Nobody cares about this roster. It's an insult based on what they're charging. Now, that's two totally different topics. What they're charging to go in there and enjoy a day of baseball is extraordinary based on what they're actually offering you in terms of star power in a lineup. But that wasn't going to change no matter what. Like, prices don't go down anywhere.
No, they go down when you are so awful that you're drawing 2,000.
And I'll say this. There are going to be a lot of readily available, easy-to-come-by tickets on the secondary market this year. So if you're paying full bore for ticket prices now, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. This is a year where you do not need to be a season ticket holder.
No, but
you should be going one-offs.
But it isn't just tickets. It's parking the car. It's buying the $12 hot dog and the $22 beer.
Yep.
It's all the ancillary stuff that gets you to, because they never miss a trick when it comes to separating you and your wallet. So it's not just the ticket price. You can get a $5 ticket and sit somewhere in the ballpark. But if you foolishly don't eat and drink before you get to your seat, they'll still nick you up.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, baseball fans, you know, when they are on the boil, they'll fill your place. But once they go off the boil, it takes a long time to get them back on, because buying tickets is a habit. And especially now that baseball has done such a poor job of promoting walk-up crowds. You know, you never get the whole idea of having an afternoon day game is, hey, we've been going good for a couple of weeks. You know, why don't you just skip the rest of work and come on out and just have an afternoon with your pals? Nobody wants to do that anymore, because it means they've got to figure out how many more ushers to hire for the day. And nobody's good at that anymore. So,
and half the downtown of San Francisco is yet to return to downtown San Francisco, which means you're fishing from a smaller pond.
That's also
to begin with.
Yeah, but I mean, the point is, if you want to rekindle San Francisco's love affair with the Giants, and that's probably overstating it, you need to make a product that people want to drop work to go see, and two, want to spend a Saturday, you know, taking the family and spending $300. Those are two big asks, and that's what's required of them, because baseball is struggling in general in terms of getting people out to the ballpark, and it's especially struggling when you can't make them fall in love with you in a year in which you win 107 games.
Somebody says $80 parking. Look, if you're paying $80 to park at that ballpark for anything other than a playoff game, you're a straight-up bridge and tunnel sucker. I mean, you got to learn downtown San Francisco. You got to know where to ditch your car within walking distance and get a good price and a nice little walk going to the ballpark. I mean, that's some straight-up sucker play right there. You can still do public transit. You can still bring your own food into the ballpark. You can even sneak a little drink in there. Someone from the 415 wants to recommend. Look, here's what I know about baseball. As mad as I want to be at it, come any opening day, based on what a team I care about did or didn't do, right when we get to opening day, I'm ready. I love baseball. Always have. Always will. Can't get enough of it. And it's the one sport where I've really realized that it's not the winner-take-all game that we make the NBA and the Warriors' dynastic run out to be. It's just not. Like, you can go to a baseball game, watch your team lose, and if it was a pretty afternoon and you had a good time, it doesn't matter. You know, there's another game coming tomorrow. There was another one just yesterday. I love how disposable the year is. Right until things get really important, and then it becomes a precious resource that you're running out of. That's kind of the fun of baseball. Look, the National League West is going to be fascinating this year. Whether the Giants are participating in it in a relevant way or not. You got two of the best teams in all baseball sitting here that the Giants are going to be chasing. The Padres basically have added Fernando Tatis Jr. back from suspension and Xander Bogaerts to a full season of Juan Soto, Manny Machado, and Jake Cronenworth. Like, that's a big boy 2-6 right there. Bob Melvin might not have the deepest pitching, but he's got a daddy of a lineup to roll out every single day. The Dodgers are the greatest National League West winning machine ever assembled. Like, the only time they haven't won a division in the last decade is when they won 106 games. That's amazing, isn't it? The only time they haven't won a division, their own division, is the year that they won 106, a franchise record. The Giants clipped them with 107. That's amazing. This remains their division until the Padres take it. Will they? Is this the year? That's the question in this division all year long. The Giants, look, they're squatting on wild card hopes come opening day. 84 to 86 wins feels like everyone played great all at the same time and a miracle happened to get you to 84 or 86 wins. We'll see. Arizona, sneaky interesting, Ray. Sneaky interesting. They got decent pitching. Kentel Marte, Christian Walker, Jake McCarthy, Evan Longoria. Big bounce back year for Longoria. No, we're not selling that. The Rockies have thanks for coming written all over them on opening day.
They always do.
But someone's like, what are you talking baseball already? Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad baseball season's around the corner.
Yeah, I
like baseball.
Is it Nahigian?
What?
Asking you why you're talking baseball already?
No!
Then tell the guy to go to hell.
Go to hell.
See? That was easy.
Thanks for the advice, Ray. That was great.
I'm here to help.
It was very, very heartwarming.
By the way,
yeah,
I don't know what you're looking at with the Texas roster, with the Diamondbacks everyday lineup, but it's got some serious stink to it.
It does, but I will trade you the entirety of the Diamondbacks roster for the entirety of the Giants roster right now. Who's got the better team at the end of that trade?
It's about a wash.
But you got a wash with old guys. You at least get an Arizona wash with some youngsters.
Okay, let's go down their list.
Well, we don't have time. We'll
no, do sure we
do. Commercial break. Yeah, let's do a segment of Diamondbacks lousy lineup. Actually, we can probably end the show on a better note than that when we do come on back. How about advice, good life advice, from Chad Ochocinco?
See, I'd rather talk about the Diamondbacks.
He's got some good life advice for you, though, Ray, so stick around.
I want to talk about Corbin Carroll.